Thank you so much for your kind introductory words. I'm extending a very warm welcome to all of you, and I feel honored to have the opportunity to speak to you. I will present a number of slides, but I will, of course, be available for questions that you may have. So there's a few things that before I share my screen to walk you through the slides, there's a few things that I would like to say in advance. First of all, I think it's very important that people realize that a vaccine is very, very different from a drug. Getting vaccinated is like getting a software program on your computer that you cannot erase. So it's like installing a software that is certainly not easy to erase. It's not like a drug that can be eliminated within a few days from your body. A vaccine is a message that imprints your immune system, that the immune system will remember, in fact, for the rest of your life. So it's not a decision to be taken lightly to get vaccinated. That is one thing I would like to say. The second thing I would like to say is that nobody should be afraid of becoming ill or becoming the disease as long as it is not severe disease. All of us have contracted diseases, have been mildly or moderately ill, have been in bed for a number of days. None of this is worrisome. What is worrisome is to get severe disease, to need to be hospitalized, etc. And the third thing I would like to say is that all I will present you is based on my longstanding career as a vaccinologist and primarily, and in fact, exclusively on science, but nothing else but the science. So with that, I would like to share my screen and so that we can start a presentation. Just let me have, yeah, that's okay. So can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Yes, doctor.
Yeah, okay. So the title of my presentation is, as I was saying, everything I'm going to tell you is based on the science, and according to the science, it is really not justifiable to issue vaccine mandates. Those vaccine mandates cannot be justified. On the contrary, I know this is a very strong statement, but I will explain you why this is. Well, first of all, let me have a look at the slides. Some of the slides are very busy, but no worries. We will take our time to walk you through them. I just wanted, first of all, to spend a few words on innate immunity. Innate immunity is something you may not even have heard of during this whole pandemic crisis, because it is a type of immunity that we have from the very beginning of our life, that we have already as of birth, that is very, very powerful, but that is something that we have been given from nature, that is not induced by vaccines. So when you hear about vaccines, there is never ever a talk about innate immunity, because the innate immunity is something that you get naturally as from birth, whereas vaccines induce what we call acquired immunity or adaptive immunity. So why is innate immunity so precious? Well, first of all, as I said, innate immunity is present at birth, and it protects children from a multitude of different diseases. So these are essentially antibodies that you have already at birth without having seen any pathogen, without having seen any vaccine. And it protects children from a multitude of diseases, including a number of viral diseases. For example, coronavirus. I'm not even talking about SARS-CoV-2, because that is automatically included. It's not just SARS-CoV-2, it's all coronaviruses. You know, we have a number of coronaviruses that are responsible for common colds and the innate immunity protects against all these viruses, but also, for example, against influenza virus. And remember, we never ever vaccinate our children against the flu, let alone that we would do mass vaccination across all age groups against the influenza virus. We typically immunize people who are vulnerable against these diseases. And vulnerable means that their innate immunity is compromised. Their innate immunity is compromised because they have, for example, underlying diseases. Or we know that also with aging, the innate immunity is weakened. But very often also with aging, people start to get some underlying diseases, which of course is then weakening their innate immunity. And remember, as the pandemic started, when we had the Wuhan strain that was circulating, we didn't have young and healthy people, and even also elderly people who were in good health, didn't suffer from this virus. Maybe they got mild or moderate illness, but the people who were really suffering were essentially people older ages, above 70, 75, 80, etc., and of course also people with underlying diseases. So innate immunity, I'm not saying that it protects you against all kinds of different diseases and all kinds of different pathogens, but definitely there are a number of viruses like the coronavirus, like influenza virus, and also some other respiratory viruses that you get protected against thanks to innate immunity, provided innate immunity is in good shape. That means people are in good health. That is very, very important to understand. Innate immunity is generally acknowledged as our first line of immune defense. And it has, just like acquired immunity, it has an antibody component. That antibody component we call innate antibodies, and it has a cellular component, an innate component that is based on a cellular defense that is largely, in fact, due to natural killer cells. And this innate immunity is fantastic because it not only protects you against disease, it can even prevent infection, or it can abrogate infection. What means abrogate infection? That means that when the virus infects a cell, NK cells, natural killer cells, can kick in, can kill that virus-infected cell, and by doing so, the infection is abrogated. So in contrast to vaccine-induced immunity, innate immunity enables what we call sterilizing immunity. It can sterilize the virus. It can kill the virus. It can eliminate the virus, make the virus disappear. And therefore, it is a key pillar of herd immunity. I'm sure you have all heard about herd immunity. And herd immunity is, in fact, the property of a population to protect people who have no immunity or who have very bad immunity, because the vast majority of people are protected, have some kind of immunity that prevents them from transmitting the virus. And if the virus doesn't get transmitted in high frequency, then the likelihood of somebody who is not protected to be protected thanks to this low, low degree of transmission or lack of transmission becomes very, very high. And that is what is herd immunity. If there is one thing that all experts, regardless of whether they are pro mass vaccination or against mass vaccination, agree upon right now, is that the current vaccines and the current COVID-19 mass vaccination campaigns do not contribute whatsoever to herd immunity, because these vaccines are not capable of preventing the transmission of the virus. And that is something which is now published everywhere, that people who are vaccinated can shed a virus, can transmit a virus. So there is no hope that with this mass vaccination, we will ever have herd immunity. And without herd immunity, it is impossible to tame a pandemic, because the only way you can tame a pandemic is by curtailing transmission of the virus, okay? So as innate immunity is indeed innate, it can also operate immediately when you get attacked by a pathogen. As you know, with vaccines, for example, it takes a lot of time before the full-fledged antibody response is established. Very often with vaccines, you need even two doses. And after each dose, you need to wait for a number of days or weeks before you have an antibody response that is sufficient and that will, to some extent, at least protect you against the disease. So that is a process that takes time. Innate immunity is ready to go. This is like a pre-primed immune defense that can immediately operate upon attack by the pathogen. So it does not need to mature before full-fledged protection is provided. And because innate immunity, as I just mentioned, protects against a broad and a diversified spectrum of respiratory viruses, such as coronavirus, flu virus, most likely also respiratory syncytial virus, RSV virus. Well, SARS-CoV-2, for that reason, is typically not a childhood disease. Of course, just like for flu, children get infected, but they can fight this infection, they can clear the virus, provided they are in good health. So it's not a childhood disease. And of course, with aging, as I mentioned, the titers of the innate antibodies, they wane, and they may therefore result in enhanced susceptibility of older age groups. So innate immunity is waning with age, but not necessarily. There are even people 85, 90 years old who still have managed to not have underlying diseases, are in good shape, have a healthy lifestyle, and even these people will not get the disease. They can be protected against the disease. But of course, in general, if you talk about averages, you will see indeed that the frequency of underlying diseases will increase with age. And of course, there is an aging process also of the immune system. So the likelihood indeed that at an older age, you can get not only the infection, but also the disease becomes higher. But the protection, especially from children, is such that there have been early on in the pandemic publications even that I'm citing here, which were pointing to the immune system of children to really understand what is what we call the correlate of protection. What is it really that protects people from SARS-CoV-2? And what is it that prevents them from having the disease? Because remember, nobody seems to realize, at least from our public health experts, that at the beginning of this pandemic, we got the Wuhan strain that was pretty rapidly spreading. And this was a virus that was completely new to our populations. So we call this, in our terminology, immunologically naive. So the population was immunologically naive to this virus. So had no antibodies, so to say. And guess what? Nobody, except for vulnerable people or people with underlying diseases, was getting the disease. Or at most, some mild or maybe some moderate illness, a few days in bed, etc. So how can that be? Well, the explanation is that people in good health are protected by their innate immune system. And that is what got explored in children and what got also published, that this is the key to understanding SARS-CoV-2 susceptibility. If your innate immune system gets compromised, then of course, your immune defense against a number of these viruses will also be compromised. So the question is then, so why does innate immunity not protect against all viral diseases? So that would be easy. Then we could completely forget about vaccines and just rely on our innate immune system. Unfortunately, that is not the case. But definitely what I'm telling you is that here, SARS-CoV-2, we are dealing with a virus that can be eliminated by our innate immune system. So here we are dealing definitely with a virus for which innate immunity is very important. It's not the case for all viruses. because some viruses have a very high affinity for their receptors. And even before they can be captured by the innate antibodies that would otherwise neutralize the virus has already bound to the receptor. So the affinity of the receptors for the virus is much higher than the affinity of the innate antibodies for the virus. And that, of course, causes a number of diseases for which innate antibodies come too late, or they are not sufficiently strong to bind and neutralize the virus. So that is one case where we, of course, still need vaccines. Another case is, for example, in case viruses are highly infectious. When they are highly infectious, they can easily break through the host's innate immune defense. So they can easily break through this barrier of antibodies and NK cells. And in order to prevent it, that is the case, for example, with measles. I'm sure you have heard about epidemics of measles that can be very devastating and that spread very, very rapidly, highly infectious, and that has a high incidence of disease and could even have high incidence of mortality. In those cases, we have no choice but to vaccinate in order to make sure that children, for example, have high titers of antibodies against measles that can protect them so that by the time they get infected by the virus gets neutralized immediately by the antibodies that are in the blood. So these are then also viruses, could also be bacteria, of course, that typically cause childhood diseases. It's not that they infect children, they can also cause disease in children. That is not the case, as I was saying, with SARS-CoV-2 and with COVID-19 disease. So that is why we definitely need vaccines, for example, to fight chronic diseases or a number of these diseases like HIV, like hepatitis C, etc., belong to this category where there is strong affinity between the virus and the receptor and insufficient capacity of the innate antibodies. Unfortunately, for this type of diseases, we still don't have standalone vaccines, unfortunately. Then there are the other vaccine, the other pathogens that are highly infectious that cause childhood diseases and for which we do have vaccines. And I want to stress that I'm certainly not against vaccines. Vaccines have saved hundreds, millions of lives, but it's not true that for every single virus, we need a vaccine. And a clear example is the kind of infection, the kind of virus we are dealing with right now, and that is causing this epidemic.